Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Survivor Series preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to this weekend's Survivor Series pay-per-view. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Dubai, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bigger quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett to look ahead to Survivor Series this weekend. Myself and Phil Chambers will be doing a live stream for it on our YouTube channel, of course, and myself and Hamflett will be back here in the small hours of Monday morning to discuss all the goings on. And before we do look ahead to this year's pay-per-view, we did have a nice moment of, well, not nice, but a moment of reminiscing about Survivor Series 2020 and, well, what our lives were like back then. We just had a very quick listen to our review, and you pointed out that was when we used to have to sit in, well, alternate front rooms, yeah, and whisper about what did you think of the pay-per-view, because you didn't want to wake up your other halves or your kids or your neighbours. It was a weird time, especially enhanced by the fact that, this time last year, I was listening to the MIDI version of The Undertaker's theme whilst Ghost Paul Bearer waved him off or something.
Nothing weird about reminiscing about that era is as weird as what we were actually talking about that was on the television. It was really quite something. I had an emotional response, involuntary, when you said, and I'm going to be joined here, of course, in the studio at What Culture Towers at 4 a.m. And we've talked a lot about what a privilege this job is. And some people, with us being a UK-based wrestling podcast, are like, God, those guys in the office at like 4 a.m. recording a show, like, imagine having to like be there in the middle of the night. And it's like, believe me, there is nowhere else I would rather be to talk about wrestling with you in this studio, in this building, being able to like sort of enjoy the wrestling, enjoy the crack at a normal volume, at a normal pace, rather than tiptoeing from my living room to my kitchen to try and work out which one was quieter. And then, quite frankly, be absolutely fucking raging with The Undertaker and not be able to shout about it because I can't wake the boys up, but this silly old bastard's thing's gone on for 10 minutes now. Wilborn, I need you to explain to me why 40 wrestlers came out and then after a video package, only Vince McMahon was in the ring. Where did Savio Vega go? Why did they even bring him here in the first place? What a weird night. What a weird 6 months, 7 months of doing that stuff. Or more. When do we stop doing those ASMR reviews?
God, I don't know.
But I have no doubt, no kink shaming, were enjoyed.
Mania?
Maybe. Enjoyed by those that enjoy that sort of thing on a sexual level. There'll be some that got the kicks out of our ASMR reviews.
They loved it, didn't they? Bastards.
There'll be some people that wrecked their ears because they had to turn their headphones up to listen to it and then forgot and then put the music back on. And
or one of our ads played or something. Yeah. I am Gary. Listen to Gary's podcast. Oh, shut up.
Imagine that. And the Miz retains the Intercontinental Championship. Hello, you're halfway through a What Culture podcast, and have you shaved your balls?
I'm sorry, just looking at Survivor Series 2020, feels apt. We're obviously recording this on Friday, so if they announce, as Hamflett suggested, Brock Lesnar for the blue team for Survivor Series, we ain't going to be talking about that. And I just glanced at last year's card and just thought, oh yeah, how many of them got released?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
One, two. This is just the first match. I'm going from the dual brand battle royal won by The Miz, last eliminating Dominic Mysterio. One, two. Jesus. Three.
Can we start the 2021 review here?
Yeah.
I need to talk to you about something. So last year's battle royal, The Miz won it.
Yep.
For his brand.
apparently.
Last eliminating. Who was that?
Dominic Mysterio.
Yeah, I remember that night. And me and you were doing our ASMR podcast. Go back and listen to it in the archives if you want. It's whispered, so you will have to turn it up. But I believe, Wilborn, it was that night that we made a prediction. And I'm going to flesh out the details of that prediction for you now. Okay. Before we get to the rest of the advertised card. Because we always knew that there was going to be something on this card unadvertised. Last year, of course, The Miz eliminated Dominic. And Dominic had to do a lot of soul searching. And he said, in 1 year, I'm going to have the biggest night of my career. I'm going to make the biggest statement of my career. And then on Sunday, this coming Sunday, 1 year on, and go back and listen. I've said all this. Anyone that's a regular listener knows that.
We all know, yeah. Tape's
one,
there.
1 year ago, we said it. And then, and Dominic said it as well. And I think that was like quite brave of a guy that's so early into his career. And then in Survivor Series, as Bret Hart would say, Rey Mysterio is going to come out and say, in light of what's happened to me at the hands of Bobby Lashley and what's happened to my son at the hands of Bobby Lashley, I've come to a very difficult and troubling decision. It's been a wonderful career. I've won world titles. I've had amazing memories. But I think tonight is the night that I re... No, Dad! Dad! No! I love you, Dad! Don't say what I think you're going to say, Dad! And then Ray's going to be like, Dominic, it's okay. It's okay, Papi. Or whatever way around it is, I forget. Like, it's okay. I'm okay. No, Dad, I love you. We still want one more. Let's win those tag titles back, Dad. And Ray's like, I guess I can go out on top. And he says, you're damn right, Dad. Get on my shoulders. You ain't heavy. You're my father. And then he's going to be walking at the back, and the commentators are going to be saying, Pat McAfee, as he always does, is going to be, you know, right now, Dominic and Ray are thinking, we're going to take the tag team titles back. And then, and Dominic's probably thinking, God, I couldn't think of anybody better to carry on my shoulders than my father. Oh my God, Michael, what happened? I'll tell you what happened, Wilborn. He electric chaired him on the ramp, right? And then he looks down at him. 1 year ago, Dad, I told you I was going to make a big statement. And then you take tonight to make a big statement? Apparently he's gone a little bit New York. I don't know how this happened.
What's all that about?
What happened, Dad? Did you forget about it?
Do you know what I was thinking? I was
the Rey Mysterio retirement angle.
I was thinking, as I often do, about this Mysterio's in the shower this morning. I was in the shower, not thinking about them.
Thinking about the Mysterio's in the shower. And Dad, I don't like being arrested with you because we got a shower together. It's fucking weird.
What I was thinking was, when they do, obviously, because we all know, we've always said when it was going to happen.
Yeah.
When they do this, you know how they always, you go like, oh, there's a really good story here to be told. And they go, yeah, but what if we like add something else? Mm-hmm. And you're like, no. The Miz and Daniel Bryan could just fight because they hate each other. We don't have to get their other halves involved. Well, pointless stakes what WWE does. So I think what's going to happen is, it's not going to be a big retirement thing, but it is going to be Ray coming down and going, well, you may have seen the tweet over the last few days. WWE 2K, and we all know who's going to be the cover star. It's just going to be finished and signed off on. And then Dominic's going to be like, Dad, you know what would look even better? Is if we had the photo posed right now, but it's you on my shoulders. Let's get on the ramp and pose that. Get on there, you old prick. I want to be on the cover. And then needlessly, it's not just a blood feud. It's who makes the cover for 2K.
The name on the contract does say Mysterio. Dominic Mysterio.
Quickly.
I'm sorry. Get on my shoulders for the cover shot. Let's do it on the ramp.
So, a quick count. I think I've got 9 releases from last year's card.
Oh, man. Oh, dear.
Keith Lee on Team Raw. Braun Strowman on Team Raw.
The big lads of Team Raw. It was like AJ and all his giant friends.
AJ,
and then they all got fired. So I was like, I'm going to get a bigger friend.
Yeah. AJ, Keith, Sheamus, Braun, and Riddle last year.
Oh, Riddle, yeah. Riddle as well. It was a shutout, wasn't it? Yeah, 5 and, like... Nobody got eliminated. Seth walked in the ring and he was like,
yeah, he was like, I don't want to be wrestling Riddle. What did he do last week? Anyway. And Team Raw also won the women's match. Do you remember who was the sole survivor?
Oh, God. This is so tough because I feel under pressure anyway because I'm expected to do well in these quizzy type situations. And I cannot even remember who's on the brands right now because of the confusing...
I'll give you a clue. She's not on any brand right now.
She's no longer a part of there.
And she won it in the best possible way. You know, you think like...
Nia Jax.
Close. The correct answer. Well, you know, you think like, what's the best way to end a match? You think about like classic matches like, oh, Batista, he taps out.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan's won the whole thing. Or literally any. One, two, three. Best way that you can win. Double count out. Lana's the winner.
It was the Lana Nia Jax thing, yes.
Nia Jax and Bianca Belair got counted out. Yeah. And Lana won the whole thing.
She was bollocked into standing on the steps. Do you remember? Get out there.
Stand on the apron. 23 minutes we waited for that.
The biggest injustice of that, I think we all know what that is, don't you? Is that like Lana stood in the ring doing the Shawn Michaels, boyhood dream has come true, girlhood dream has come true for Lana. In the Thunderdome, no pop.
Furious.
Would have been huge.
Anyway, this year, let's talk about Survivor Series 2021. We've got a hell of a card to look forward to. Like I said, we're recording this on Friday afternoon, so we don't know who the fifth member of Team SmackDown in the men's match is going to be. Let's start, though, at the bottom of the card with a sort of insignificant match and a match I think we're going to both agree on in terms of the result. US champ versus Intercontinental champ. Damian Priest versus Shinsuke Nakamura with Rick Boogs in his corner. It's not been a good few weeks for Nakamura and Boogs, has it?
No, it's not been a good few weeks for Nakamura and Boogs. Damian Priest is angrier and more Damian-like than ever before.
God, they've only made that connection now, haven't they?
Because T-Bar has been finding the darkness within Damien. A guy that walks around calling himself the Archer of Infamy and setting fire to his own name is a guy that has enough darkness, I think. there's no story, is there? Like, I'm glad we're covering it first. There's no story, there's no build. This is one of them proper boilerplate, oh, we've come up with an idea, so we're obligated to do this match. Priest wins because it would be, like, the worst example, maybe ever, of WWE going, oh, everybody predicts that Damian Priest's going to win. So we're going to put Nakamura over.
Yeah.
We are looking at Damian Priest, a potential Royal Rumble Final Four even winner.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's going to be in that main event of WrestleMania title match, but absolutely you fancy Priest to be in that spot to potentially compete for the mid-card version of the world title on that night. He's not losing here, but how would you summon excitement for the match? They haven't tried to. The graphic was wheeled into existence on Monday. That's it.
Yeah. Damian Priest wins, fairly straightforward one this.
Yep.
And I'm not sure how my score's going to look. I haven't actually calculated in advance.
I've got a score based on my predictions at the end.
How it's going to play out, but I do need to try and give some wins to Raw because I feel like some of the matches are pretty heavily weighted in SmackDown's favour. So let's talk next about the tag match. Champion versus champion, RK-Bro, Randy Orton and Riddle versus The Usos. How do you see this one playing out, Hamflet?
I quite like this.
Yeah, me too.
I thought the way on Raw they folded effectively RK-Bro into Big E's beef with Roman Reigns was legitimately impressive. Yeah. Like the Usos charge Raw because why would Roman go there if he can send like the Usos to do his dirty work? And then Riddle is cast as this guy who knows he has to fight the Usos on the pay-per-view. So why not try and get a few licks in now? Orton is a guy that wants to suddenly kind of preserve the value of the tag belt. So he's like, well, fine, let's go and batter the Usos. And as a combination of wrestlers, it feels extremely new, which is rare for a WWE pay-per-view. Everyone's fought everybody else in some sort of combination at some point other than this feels brand spanking new. They're a success story, RK-Bro of 2021. For better and worse, Randy Orton has bored me for tears to get him for 20 years, and I think Riddle's a complete tosspot. But the act has gone down incredibly well. And the Usos somehow, underrated is not the word, but people very easily forget what the Usos do when they're just left to business. Like so much of this run has been about being characters and being under Roman's thumb and all that kind of, it's a bit annoying. And they're kind of like, a bit whingy and nasally compared to how they used to be as characters. But this is going to be, like WWE, this is all WWE does well as a wrestling company, is pay-per-views. I think this match is going to be excellent. I've got the Usos to win because it suits my SmackDown scorecard, but it really could go either way. If anything, the result is kind of so meaningless that the match totally ruling will be the main thing.
Yeah, potential contender for match of the night. Yeah. I completely agree.
It was last year's New Day Street Profits match was the match of the night.
Yeah.
They like made this whole thing about, right, we've both got belts. And yes, this stupid company might have made us trade them, but who is the actual best here? And I remember the New Day going all cocky and Street Profits being like, no, we're not going to rise to that. And like, yes, it was about Raw versus SmackDown, but it wasn't. Mm. And I'd love to see that sort of thing applied here. There's a shred of a story. Don't wear your... I mean, they will wear a T-shirt. If Randy Orton wears red trunks, riddle matches, I'm going to lose it. But like, if fair enough, they have to do the brand stuff as an obligation, but because of what they built up on Raw, I think there's going to be heat, and I'm sort of looking forward to it.
Yeah, I agree. This be the beginning of the end of RK, bro. I've often called for it, but I'm just looking at the calendar now and thinking day one, that could potentially be, you know, maybe the start of the blow off of that feud. Riddle is a contender for the Royal Rumble for me. I think if you're going to do that, you kind of have to work backwards and look at this being the last pay-per-view of WWE's of the year, and therefore something major potentially. I'm not saying that he RKO's Riddle tonight, but no. I'm just saying that perhaps more of Riddle getting carried away, or more, you know, you saw it on Raw.
And they've got belts to lose too. That's another step you can take of them losing their titles. Mm-hmm. Riddle's going to, for me, win the Rumble or fight Randy at WrestleMania. It's a big thing for him regardless. And I could well see him doing they've lost the belts, but they're still cool. And then Riddle throws him out the Rumble. He does the polite shrug. Sorry, bro, you know, all this sort of thing. And then you've got like final two, final three, and Orton slides in and RKOs him. Oh. Somebody else chucks Riddle, and that's the inciting incident because he couldn't Orton. We've seen what happens when Orton gets eliminated from Rumbles by mates. Look what happened with Edge. He doesn't play fair with it, does he? So like you could well do something like that.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Looking at some of the other matches on this card then, so that's, I think we've both said 1-1 at this point.
I've got 1-1 at that point.
What should we do next? I do like the champion versus champion matches. I might save them for a little bit later.
Okay, yep.
Let's start with the 5-on-5 women's Survivor Series elimination match. Team Raw is Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Carmella, and Queen Zelina. Team SmackDown, Sasha Banks, Shayna Baszler, Shotzi, Natalya, and at least we assume, at time of recording, Tony Storm.
It used to be, Survivor Series used to be about, fair enough, the captains would definitely be in feuds, and ideally the partners would be too. And you would line up, say, five sets of rivals or four sets of rivals that could all come together. Or logical heels versus baby faces against one another. It's not that since Raw versus SmackDown. It's about can the teams coexist and the infighting that's going to go on. And unfortunately, what that does to not the bulk of the match necessarily, but to large swathes of the match, is it makes it less about what you're watching and more about the ramifications after the fact. Mm-hmm. So you can't, like, you know, Team SmackDown, as we had with, like, we were just talking about the Raw one from last year. Yes, they could try and run the table, and you occasionally get these, like, freak results where a team does get along and they make it work and all's well. But you literally have two people on this team who, as we are recording, have just had a match last night on SmackDown in Sasha Banks and Shotzi, right? Now, we're recording on Friday, so I mean, I couldn't believe it when Serena Deeb jumped and made it a triple threat. But other than that development, they are presumably going to lead something bigger for Shotzi and Sasha. That feels like it was designed to set up an angler match after the Survivor Series. So instead, what I've looked at is the infighting between those two, ultimately costing SmackDown when it gets to 2v1, Sasha and Shotzi versus Bianca Belair, and Bianca Belair capitalizes, beats the pair of them, and wins it as the sole survivor for Raw. She has had, like, she's been beaten with a stick.
Yeah, I agree.
For the last month, 2 months. I don't always need to take victory laps, but I'm taking one because I had dread in my stomach at the Becky Lynch thing at SummerSlam, and I had a feeling they would never rectify it, and they fucking didn't, and she's in bother, and she's drowning, and a Survivor Series win fixes very little, but it at very least positions her to start 2022 the right way.
Yeah, I look at that, and I don't know exactly how it's going to play out, but I look at the two teams and go, you cannot have the team that has got Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, and Liv Morgan on. No offense to Carmella and Queen Zelina, but yeah, they can't lose. They cannot lose. They can maybe get eliminated. One or two of those three can get eliminated. They can't all get eliminated, and they certainly can't lose as a team. Sasha Banks is fine regardless. Obviously, Shayna Baszler, they don't care about as much as I would love to defend her, and maybe Naomi costs her or something. Mm-hmm. Shotzi, as you say, and Sasha can have something. Natalya. And Toni Storm is fine and has already tried to position herself in a title feud, and maybe Charlotte can use that of being like, well, why would you want a title shot after Survivor Series? Your team just lost, etc., etc.
I'd love Toni Storm having been added so late to... remember she debuted a new finisher in that one match she had?
Oh, yeah.
She used to do Storm Zero, and then she had debuted Storm One. Like, give her a win. Give her, like, a flash win with a finisher because she's really great before they eliminate her.
Yeah, on Carmella or someone is absolutely fine. Let's switch over to the, switching gears, to the men's match now. Seems heavily weighted one way or another, and it sort of depends on who this fifth member of Team SmackDown is. But for the time being, it's 2-1 to Raw, as we are going here. Team Raw in the men's Survivor Series match, Rollins, Balor, Owens, Lashley, and Austin Theory versus Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, King Woods, Happy Corbin, and an extra person to be announced. Our SmackDown preview, we said it was going to be Kayla Braxton.
Yeah. Spoiler. As Paul Heyman, her arch rival, would say, that wasn't a prediction, that was a spoiler.
I said this before, and unless your prediction Brock Lesnar or someone has come true, seems like Team Raw's probably got the team advantage here, even if they might not necessarily all get along, let's say.
Yeah. But can I just shock you? I've gone with Team SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
If you'll permit me to explain why. The mystery partner element is perhaps, I mean, as we're recording, it might not be a mystery anymore, so I won't dwell too much on it, but I will say, too often in recent history, the mystery partner has been far less engaging than we would have predicted. You build a story around the mystery and it ends up just being somebody that they slot in and they do it on the kickoff or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And it's just not got the juice that these things used to have. But yes, as you say, the teams feel incredibly weighted in Raw's favour. Star power, expected dominance, I guess, of wrestler versus wrestler when you line them all up. I think Team SmackDown wins because I think tonight, and it's been long awaited by the poor guy and it's overdue, I think the man who's been looking, waiting for 2 years for a moment, Drew McIntyre, finally gets one.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice.
He got a moment at the 2020 Royal Rumble and he thought this was the start of everything, and then he got his WrestleMania main event taken away from him, and then he fought Roman Reigns in the biggest match of last year's Survivor Series in the empty Thunderdome, and then he returned. The crowds returned at WrestleMania, social distance, and he lost to Bobby Lashley. In the opener to Bobby Lashley. And then SummerSlam happened.
Not even the opener, really. It was like 20 minutes after the opener.
20 minutes after the rainstorm. Like the Jinder Mahal match was over a sword in the middle of the card and a squash. Nobody considered that anything, unfortunately. Tonight, Drew McIntyre defeats Bobby Lashley in the last two in the ring, beats him clean with a Claymore. He wins the match for SmackDown. SmackDown are going to need it. You've had all the various eliminations. And more than anything else, it ties quite nicely into this gimmick that he's doing on SmackDown about throwing out an open challenge every week, to the point where after that, you've got this sort of been like, what, 5 weeks of Drew fighting anyone that wants to come through the curtain, winning the match for the team at the Survivor Series, and then having a very valid claim on being the true head of the table on SmackDown, because you've got either the January the 1st pay-per-view, you've got him entering the Royal Rumble. But there's a route to Roman Reigns here at some show or another. And I think Drew is still owed something that they can... We know that winning the Survivor Series isn't it, but there's something they can dress up as being the big night that he's been desperate to get all this time.
Yeah, I like that as an idea. And it's similar to obviously what we've talked about with Bianca Belair, but it's not necessarily far more needed for Drew, but it is a nice gesture.
Yeah.
Hell of, not rehabilitate, but hell of a way to launch him into the... into the title picture, because that's where he should probably be as we head into 2022. which is why Team Raw is going to win in my predictions. I can't get past looking at this team and thinking, who bloody knows who that Von Wagner or whoever it is they announce as the fifth member, that may completely change my opinion. And then I'll wake up on Saturday morning and go, yeah, that's completely out of date now before this podcast even gets released. But I look at that and go, Jeff Hardy doesn't need to pin anyone. King Woods got battered, so he can be carrying an injury necessarily or a concussion or whatever you want to say going into it. Why they wouldn't replace him, I don't know, but still, he can go into it. Happy Corbin laughing too hard at a Madcap Moss joke and runs into a coup de grace or something. I don't care.
You're a joke, Corbin. Yeah. You're an absolute joke.
And then Drew McIntyre. I'd have it be Team Raw like 5-1 up. So everyone else gets eliminated except Drew. And Drew fights through and fights through and fights through. And maybe is left with just Bobby. Or maybe Owens, because you kind of want to protect him because he's trying to go on a bit of a streak. Maybe he gets DQ'd doing something and that costs Jeff Hardy, for example, in the match. Or the extra person, whoever that may be. And then Bobby Lashley wins because I think they're going to give Bobby Lashley a big win again. And I've sort of stumbled into what I think is my prediction for the way this show plays out in terms of which brand reigns supreme.
Okay.
So let's move on. Not to Becky Lynch and Charlotte, because I think that's arguably the most fascinating match on this card.
Feels like the main event, doesn't it? Let's be honest.
Let's talk Big E versus Roman Reigns. WWE Champion versus Universal Champion. Can Big E get it done for you?
That was the sound, for anybody that can't see us, of me slapping it all on the table for the big meaty man who batters meat. Because yes, he can. Yes, he can. I'm going for it. It's made my scorecard 3-2. So there's good drama going into the main event. I love the idea of Big E winning here. And of course, it's not just because there's no titles on the line. So if there was ever an opportunity to pin Roman Reigns once in this run that he's on, it would be this show. You couldn't do it last year. Just because it was the same permutations, that character was too new. That character needed everything it could have behind it. To like the head of the table stuff was instantly over, but it's how you establish credibility. That credibility is now completely established. You don't want to beat him all the time. You don't want to do what WWE normally doesn't beat them like a drum, but you can beat them once or twice if the stakes don't interfere with your bigger plans, which in this case is Roman Reigns holding the belt for the rest of time. That's the bigger plan at present. For Big E to have this victory as something to talk about is going to be so useful every single week on Raw. For Big E to have this victory that people remember about his title run could set up everything that's going to happen in his career, not just for the duration of this run, but for the runs that are to come, for the various tenures he's going to have to come when he gets back with the New Day. Somebody will always be the guy that beat Roman Reigns during this streak of his. And as we learned with The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar, whereas there was always this belief that it's got to be like a young up-and-comer to get the most out of it, the reality is quite different when it plays out. As long as the person who does it is then spoken of in the hallowed terms with which Brock Lesnar was spoken in, you get, oh, well, you can't get any more out of Brock Lesnar. Yes, you can. He becomes an even bigger star off of what he does to The Undertaker, you know? And what Big E would get as a benefit for this, I just think is so fantastic. And consider the extra bits of sort of like fluff and nonsense around this. They've got a feud, a loose feud, I guess, that started with Roman just laughing off this challenge that Big E's on his level. And then Big E making him feel a little bit threatened that he might actually be on his level. And then Roman Reigns battering Big E's mates while Big E wasn't there in a disadvantaged position. And now breaking his mate's heart and stealing his crown. Not only do I want Big E to pin Roman Reigns, he can't take his belt, but he can take that crown back for Xavier Woods. So if anything, what you've done is you've created something that feels like a title match that isn't, that you can give the win to Big E for without making Roman Reigns feel like a loser. And I know I sound like I'm fantasy booking for a favourite, but I just feel like they have genuinely, and they deserve credit for this, given themselves the perfect way to beat Roman Reigns. And if you absolutely have to cheat it, because God forbid they ever commit to anything, let this be the Brock Lesnar surprise running. F5, splat, Paul Heyman looking on in horror. Next week on SmackDown, did you know he was here, Paul? Because you knew he was here at SummerSlam. Did you know he was here, Paul? Did you know he was here? You know, like, yeah. And Big E being like, I did see Paul Heyman on the phone earlier on? Like, they're like,
some great booking.
You fire all that stuff back up again. You heat all that up. Sod it. Let's have Big E for the big win.
This is like bizarro world. You're doing all the optimistic booking. I'm going, yeah, Roman Reigns wins.
I like your card, Amphlett, in opposite land.
No, like, if your stuff happens, I'll be ecstatic on Sunday night. I just think, I've got one eye on day one.
WrestleMania 46.
Yeah, I don't really know what they're doing.
Roman versus somebody that's not yet been born. Roman versus the guy that in the office when Gareth says, I'm just wondering if there's ever going to be a boy born faster than a shark. And you're like, there is Gareth, and one day he's going to beat Roman Reigns for the title in an underwater match.
I just think the story of this, well, the story, do you know what, I'll reveal my thing now. The story of the entire show is Raw wins 4-2 on my thing. Mm. And the only two teams that win from SmackDown are the Bloodline, because they're the only good thing about SmackDown, ladies and gentlemen.
By the way, just to sort of, if you thought that this fantasy booking in Roman and Big E was ridiculous, wait till you hear what I've got cooked for the main event.
Oh, goodness me.
Jesus Christ.
I think Big E has the match won.
Okay.
I think the Usos get involved, and then Roman wins and goes, look, see, I've always proven I was the best champion. And then we get some mad, stepped up trios match.
Yeah.
Which we are, you know, which we've, I know we've had a bit on telly.
No, it feels good about it.
Yeah. It's not the new year, come on. I don't feel like they're going to have big title matches on that show. I feel like they might have some titles on the line on that show, women's titles in that case. But I feel like they're going to go, if you're going to have, for example, Drew fighting for the title, they ain't doing it on New Year's Day. They're doing it at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And again, if they're doing Owens versus E, for example, I need to double check what time his contract expires, but still, then that's probably going to be at the Royal Rumble, for example. Mm-hmm. So, I think that what we're going to see is Big E having the match won. I haven't thought about the Brock Lesnar thing. That's made me even more confused. Yeah. I'd love him to win, but I think for now, Roman beats him. But again, you're planting that seed of Big E's got Roman's number. If you do want to eventually have the one that Big E is the guy, you should. The Big E is the guy that eventually beats Roman Reigns for that Universal Championship. This is another breadcrumb.
Just to sort of, we are, as we always do on these pay-per-view previews, we tend to forget ourselves and actually book finishes.
Yes.
Rather than WWE have conspired to do another brand versus brand paper. It's the second year in a row where it could end up as a draw. Fucking idiots. Yeah. Like the even number of matches. You're supposed to be able to have a winner at the end of this. That would get you there.
Yeah.
If there was no finish to speak of and neither of us are getting what we want, but nobody's getting to see Big E lose, then you could theoretically have the
spot. That makes Mike score 4-1 to Raw.
Well, this is it, yeah. But like, you could end, theoretically, you could end with a definite winner if you have something. I'm not advocating for that. I want to win.
I want to win.
I'd have
Roman wins here, and then maybe the Bloodline losers at day one, but it's one of the Usos, and again, Roman, you know, flogs them in public or whatever it is that they do as a result of that. I'll give away my result for the women's main event right now then. Becky Lynch wins, because as much as she's also a heel, you can't have Charlotte Flair winning this, man. Come on, WWE. Look at what's been going on. Becky Lynch has to beat her. She wins for Raw. She's sort of got this renewed sense of confidence. Charlotte Flair is getting slightly concerned, if you want to come back to this down the line, that, again, Becky Lynch has got her number. And when Charlotte comes out and says to Toni Storm, well, you lost. Why do you think you should get a title shot? And she says, well, at least I got a pinfall. You just lost straight out. You were defending the honor of our brand. I was on a team. That was a team effort that we lost on. You lost against Becky Lynch, and you're meant to be, you know, the be-all and end-all. If the title had been on the line, we'd have seen Becky two belts and Charlotte no belt. I don't know, some bollocks writing that they're going to have. But it doesn't matter what I think, because after that tease, I have to know what you think happens when Becky Lynch, Raw Women's Champion, takes on Charlotte Flair, the SmackDown Women's Champion.
Are we fighting for different brands? Because I've gone for Charlotte Flair. Is this our own Survivor Series? Well, we've just disagreed on everything.
I don't think I've ever been Team Raw for the past few years.
So it is understandable that they've gone down the avenue of, finally, and it took ages to get there, talking about the real life issues that exist now between Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair. This was absolutely the way to go. There are like wrestling deals with a far more plugged in audience than even it thinks. It still believes it's being niche within a niche within a niche. In reality, like, lots of people are plugged in at lots of different details. Lots of people know little things about these things and then nothing about other things. They watch the television, but they also follow wrestlers on social media. They look at outside interviews. They just see news in the news feed. Hopefully they come to whatculture.com/WWE and they watch the videos with you and Murray every morning. It's all out there and it's not hidden away.
Mm.
And what happened on SmackDown the other week, aside from being a rotten segment on television, everybody knows just as much about what took place after the fact. So at long last, when they did start building to this, they zeroed in on this lack of trust between the two. And Becky Lynch, partly... because, again, I don't want to speculate on what happened when we weren't in the room, but from every version of the story bar one, like, she's kind of come across like the more professional of the two, which kind of automatically babyfaces her, despite the fact that she's been playing a heel since August. Now, despite the fact that both of these are heel, there is one sentimental babyface, is there not? And in this match, where there is a sentimental babyface in a match between two heels, where there has been shoot conflict between the two, fights backstage... we find ourselves heading into a Survivor Series main event, do we not? Does this sound familiar?
Yes. Okay?
So a Survivor Series main event between two career rivals that hate each other in real life and you're worried about if the match is going to get out of hand. You know what homework I'm telling you to go and watch, because the match itself is actually underrated. Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels are having a very, very convincing, almost like a hockey fight in the crowd match before everything goes tits up in the way that we've seen a billion times. It's ironic that the worst bit of footage from the match is the only bit that ever gets played, because it's a hell of a match that comes before that. They make, I mean, the two are the best of all time, but they never worked that well together until they were asked, can you make this fight look as real as possible? They absolutely smashed it. Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair have worked everybody, and I love being one of these people, into feeling the tension and feeling, I cannot wait for this.
Oh, like, yeah, buzzing.
There's a nervousness around this, and I think this match has bucket loads of potential, spinning all over as it probably will, to just feel a different kind of violent to that classic they had at Evolution. That was your proper WWE water settle the score, weapons, blood and thunder match. This is going to be a different, this is going to be snippy and pissy. And dare I compare it to Eddie Kingston and CM Punk, but ooh, that kind of, you know, that kind of vibe, the uncomfortable, like, God, Jesus Christ, what's she doing to her? All that sort of stuff. So again, I ask you, Wilborn, what happened at the end of the comparison piece that I use? A move was applied very quickly. A wrestler slid out the ring, held up a title in victory, and marched away as quick as possible from the theatre of conflict, did they not?
Mm-hmm.
I'm predicting that Charlotte Flair will do just that on Sunday, but let me tell you why. Because Becky Lynch, after the match, eventually comes to the ring, and they have this, blah, 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 and they battle back and forth. Becky didn't have the manhandle slam in her arsenal when she last fought Charlotte. This is this new thing, this new kill shot she's got. And she hits it on Charlotte for the first time. And we can finally ask the question, has Becky Lynch got this new way to beat Charlotte Flair conclusively? And she stands, she's ready to make the cover. I don't give a damn about my reputation. Ronda Rousey, baby, was 2 months ago, stands on the ramp, arena buzzing in shock. Everyone just doesn't know what to do. Michael Cole repeats the call from 2018. Is it? Could it be? Ronda Rousey on the ramp, just like everyone's. She always took ages to come to the ring, so that is the believable recovery.
Big leather jacket.
Yeah, believable recovery time for Charlotte Flair. Becky.
Point at the sign. There isn't a sign yet, Ronda. But point at the sign.
She's just stood on the ramp. Becky is like mouth agape. It's one of the few times that you can get away with the music is a distraction, because the whole building is staring at the ramp. They can't believe what they're seeing.
Oh my God.
The baddest woman on the planet is back. Becky Lynch is stood in the ring. She's big time Bex, but this is the first time she's been rattled as big time Bex. Charlotte, roll up, pulls the tights. 1, 2, 3, slides out the ring. Like, she doesn't even feel like she's earned the victory, but she'll fucking take it because she's a piece of garbage. Like, she'll take this win. On SmackDown, she'll be like, I did, I'm the queen. I beat Becky Lynch. It was a piece of piss, all that sort of stuff. WrestleMania.
Oh, man. You've done it again. You've done that thing where now if it doesn't happen, I'm going to be furious.
Like, no physical. Like, she's 2 months shy of having a baby. That's enough. Like, Ronda watches this happen, watches Becky lose. Like, you see her mouth something like, big time, are you?
Yeah.
I'm fucking big time, mate. And then she walks the back. Becky's just in disbelief, because what has to happen after SmackDown, after this pay-per-view, she needs to go back to being the heel. So you completely reframe this. You have it as like, you know, she refuses to accept the loss. She's making excuses on Raw, blah, 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 blah. Like, no selling the whole thing. Like, somebody asks her, I mean, Becky, we need to know what you think about Ronda. Whoa, 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 whoa. I want to talk about Liv Morgan. You know, like all of a sudden, Liv Morgan's there. Like, one, just one acknowledges that Ronda Rousey's the deal. And then when Ronda is ready to come back and start talking properly, she says, look, what happened at WrestleMania 35? You were lucky. I got my shoulder up. Everybody in that building knew that there was something a little bit iffy about that finish. I can beat you this time. And there's your night two main event.
Jesus. What a piece of booking that is.
By the way, 50-50 Survivor Series 3.
That's what I was going to say. And which brand reigns supreme? Neither. We have to watch both. Keep watching both. And then in comes Brand Breaker.
That's what they do. They the whole thing ends, and then like just the whole pay-per-view ends with Sonya Deville and Poison Pierce flipping a coin. Graph comes at the end. 4-3 to SmackDown after time the coin toss. But yeah, that's my big ridiculous.
Oh, I love it.
Won't happen. Just I like to drop one of these in per preview just to like.
Yes. Well, let us know your thoughts ahead of Survivor. I can't wait for it now. ahead of Survivor Series this weekend on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. We will be doing the Survivor Series review, as I said, in the small hours of Monday morning. So if you subscribe, that will be in your feed as soon as it is released. And make sure you join myself and Phil Chambers. Hey, and maybe a surprise appearance from Michael Hamflett somewhere in there for our Survivor Series live stream on Sunday night into Monday morning if you're here in the UK. But for now, this has been the Survivor Series preview. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
1-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.